This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers. I'm your host, Chris Eliopoulos. With me today, as always, is my good pal, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome back, Michelle.
Hello, Mike. Oh, my God.
Christopher, Mike, such a Freudian slip.
Christopher, as we say here in New England. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Doing all right? Did you do your civic duty?
Yeah, I got our mail-in votes from New Jersey. Everybody in the state gets the mail-in votes, and the weather's awesome. Turning. I can feel the cold air coming in, and I'm sure it's colder up by you.
It's crazy up here. We had a microburst of thunderstorm, but yeah, it's definitely feeling like fall. But you know, awesome. It doesn't matter. Every day is Groundhog Day. I'm teaching at home.
I know.
It's
nothing
all
changes.
All the same. Found out. Actually, I had to cancel a Disney trip because spring break is now canceled for my school. Which I think is smart, but they're just going right through. So
yeah, they want to barrel through the semester.
Yep. So my March trip.
We closed our pool, so we're done for the summer.
Oh, so sad.
So depressing. So do you have any shout outs, or we're just going to move on without?
I don't have any shout outs to the voters, I guess.
Get out there and
vote.
Make sure you're registered.
Votes.
Yeah, I have next week. I have the two books that I've been plugging here.
Oh yeah. Out. My God, that's so exciting. I saw your Facebook post.
Yeah, so we have I Am Anne Frank and I Am Ben Franklin coming out next week, and I'm going to be doing a bunch of virtual tour dates. So if you go to my Twitter handle or Facebook page, I will probably be posting links to where you can get online and watch Brad and I talk and draw. And
I can't believe I haven't ordered those books yet. I need to do that.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I have to say, Chris, that one of the most powerful experiences I've ever had is going to Anne Frank's house. I got to go a few times, so yes.
Yeah, this book is was really hard to do because you want to be upbeat, but it's also such a depressing topic, and you don't want to scare the kids, but you also want to let them know what's out there. So next week, keep an eye out for that, and you'll virtually be able to see me, and hopefully.
I'm sorry, where are you going to be?
We're going to be putting up the list. There's a lot of. We're going to do like a bunch of bookstore visits, like Books and Books down in Florida and Politics and Prose in DC and a few Jewish community centers and stuff like that just for the to promote the book. So coming up this week, I'll start posting links to where you can check in and join the crowd and enjoy some talk about the books.
I'm ordering it right now.
Thanks. So, all right. So also with us is our returning champion, Michael Woo-hoo! Scopa. Mike, how you feeling?
Hi, Chris. I have a little ways to go before I'm at 100%, but maybe in a couple of weeks I should be 100%. I was just going to say, number one, I voted. And number two, I wish that you were releasing a book tomorrow with the title, I Am a Debate Fly, because I think it would sell really well. But
I'm pretty fly for a white guy. Yeah. As you can tell, this is being recorded after the debate. The vice presidential debate. So the fly stole the show. So
yeah,
that's really funny. Yep. So Mike, do you have any attraction or other things to tease us with, or are we going to go right into this thing?
So I don't know if this is a teaser, Chris, but thing that I've noticed over the last 5 days, hearing from folks, reading trip reports and, you know, not really talking with people, but texting and emailing, and something kind of slipped by yesterday. And I don't know how many people realize this, but we how about a week or two ago, the governor of Florida, DeSantis, kind of opened up the whole state.
Right. He opened up, I guess, bars and restaurants now fully and not requiring a mask or anything like that. Is that the case?
Right. But he did something, something happened yesterday that I don't know how many people realize it, but he actually cleared the Miami Dolphins to hold full capacity in their stadium.
Oh,
so that stadium,
wow,
65,000 people, Michelle. So when, so he says, if you want to, I'm not going to give you any restrictions. You can bring in as many people as you want. Now, to their credit, the Dolphins are sticking with about 13,000, but even 13,000 to me is too many. And so there has been a discussion that, well, if he's going to lift a restriction for the Miami Dolphins and probably, you know, Tampa Buccaneers and other venues, then why would Disney World not do the same with their capacity? And so there have been some discussions on forums and people have been texting me and stuff. And so what I found is that in a very, very subtle manner, it seems like some of the capacities in some of the parks have been kind of lifted. And I know that last week we were saying, oh, it's probably not going to happen. But I don't know if it was the governor's move that is sort of giving Disney the opening to lift some of the capacities. And so let me give you an example of what the increasing of the park capacity would mean as far as guest experience. So I heard from one person who said that they had been down in July and they had been down about a week or two ago. And they noticed that there's a difference in the capacity. Now, if you look, if you go to Disney's Hollywood Studios, and we know how popular Rock and Roller Coaster is and how long the queue line is. When you incorporate social distancing, you want parties or riders to be 6 feet apart, number one. Number two, they're not using every single seat in the attraction. So that makes for a long time. And the other thing is that I almost dropped when this person said, yeah, the Rock and Roller Coaster line, queue line, was way out to Sunset Boulevard and a little bit down Sunset Boulevard. And another reason why it's long, there are no fast passes. So the people who would normally be in the fast pass line are now in the standby line. So you put that all together, the social distancing, the removal of the fast pass, the raising of the capacity, and all of a sudden there's going to be some issues down there. So I'm hearing that. And now with the Miami Dolphins being cleared to go full capacity, who knows what kind of thought processes are going through some people's minds who are running the show as far as park capacity. And the biggest problem is in the Magic Kingdom and in Hollywood Studios, because people now are making decisions on if they go down, which parks would they get the most for their buck. And it's obvious that it's Magic Kingdom and Disney Hollywood Studios. Animal Kingdom and Epcot, they probably get a decent crowd on Saturdays. And I've also heard from people who were really, they were upset because they thought they almost went in July when the parks first opened. And these are people who live down there. And now they're saying, we missed our slot. We're not going to go now. We're hearing that this, it's just too crowded. And let me add one more thing, that with the recent layoffs, the average cast member does not seem to be as happy as he or she normally would be. So, because they never know when, you know, that's going to be their last day. So that's the big news that I heard. It's kind of upsetting because if things continue to go the way they go, we may see Florida be like California. So it's just a shame. And when we want this virus to go down, we want the numbers to go down, but the numbers are going up, and it just seems so strange that while they're going up, we're seeing things open up, and there's definitely a connection between the two. So
I thought it seems antithetical, right? I mean, it just seems like the opposite that you should be doing is as we start to see the tick up and the fall is coming and we got, you know, flu season coming up, you would think let's take a little bit more caution in this thing. But
so I had a question, guys, because this is something that's confusing me. I see pictures of the parks being empty, people walking on rides, and then I see other pictures of really, really long lines like the one that you mentioned, Mike. And I'm just wondering why. Why are we seeing, you know, is it the time of day? Is it the particular park? Is it, what do you think?
I think it's where you go, and I think it's when you go. I'm looking at a post in a forum right now from someone who just posted an hour ago. And this person says, this is a sample of what I dealt with last week at Disney Hollywood Studios, where every attraction had a posted wait time longer than 30 minutes, commonly 60 to 90 minutes. And a lot of people are saying because of the long lines, the queue lines, they are not undercover. And if it's really warm out, you're in the sun for about 60 minutes. Think about that. Think if you have children. So, you know, I think, Michelle, it comes down to where you go. I think that if you're smart during the week, you're going to Epcot, and probably you're staying away from the Magic Kingdom and Disney Hollywood Studios, because those two parks seem to be the ones where people are mentioning longer lines. Animal Kingdom is not too bad. I think you have to be even more selective these days regarding any type of touring that you do in the parks. And it's very much, you know, flip of the coin these days. But if I were to recommend any type of touring plan, I guess I would suggest that people go early in the morning to either Animal Kingdom or Epcot during the week. And I would avoid theme parks completely on the weekends, because I'm guessing that the locals would be there, especially at Epcot, for food and wine. It's a real challenge. And I have no idea what to expect when the Christmas season comes with the cancellation of a lot of Christmas activities. I would expect that the crowds would be low, but it really bothers me when I hear about the domino effect of a increased capacity on long lines and social distancing and stuff. So
yeah, it seems like it's just not the smartest thing in the world. I mean, I guess, you know what, their problem is, obviously they have limited capacity, they have limited space in the queues. So now these queues are extending outward out of the attraction and down further. So now you've got more people just standing around, and, you know, and that's why it's probably taking longer and why the lines are getting longer. And, you know, God forbid something break down, then it's going to be even more of a mess. And it reminds me of our conversation earlier on, like, is it worth it? Forget about, you know, dealing with, you know, a horrible disease. How about just being stuck in lines and not being able to go anywhere and things being difficult? And is it worth the money to go there? I mean, if you've got an annual pass and you're local, hey, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a drive over and you go see what you want to see and get out, and it's fine. But I don't know for anybody else.
Well, wait a minute. If an annual pass doesn't work, remember, you have to make reservations.
Right.
To get into a park. So,
but even so that, I mean, it's, you, I mean, you're not planning to fly down there and go and have these kind of issues. Somebody local can book the day, go there, and, you know, if it doesn't work out, they go home. It's no, you know, no harm, no foul.
Well, but, and the know. Thing is that, and I keep bringing this up, that the guest experience is already compromised because of the lack of park hopping and because of the reduced hours. And one of the very subtle things that I'm seeing, I just read today that there's a whole bunch of construction walls that are going up between the American Adventure in Italy. They're doing refurbishing. And I think there's either Frozen Ever After or maybe the Frozen Sing-Along. One of them is being closed for a while, refurbishment. There's a lot of refurbishments that are going on that I don't know if they were scheduled. Are they just thinking, well, with the reduced number of people that are coming to the parks, let's close them down? So adding to the long lines is the fact that, well, if you reduce the number of attractions, then those attractions which are not being refurbished or closed mm-hmm. are experiencing longer lines. So it's just, you know, and I hate to be the voice of doom and gloom, but I'm just saying this is what's happening down there. And you know, it's hopefully going to someday be behind us, but it just makes me sort of glad that I decided not to go down this time at this particular time.
And speaking of, like, and then you got something on the opposite coast. You got Disneyland, which is really wanting to open up. The Disney Corporation really wants to open up Disneyland, but the governor of California is not feeling that right now. And
so, did you hear that Bob Iger pulled himself off the task force?
Yeah.
For, you know, kind of figuring out when they're going to open up again. He's gone. He's off.
Well, he probably got frustrated because he wasn't getting what he wanted, which I can somewhat understand. But it's funny. It's like it's the opposite take than Florida. Florida's like, let's open up more. And California's like, we're keeping it shut down. I can't imagine the amount of money they're losing at this point.
Well, yeah, they're losing money and they're trying to draw people. They recently announced, I don't know if you guys heard this, they recently announced, you ready for this? 70% off DVC resorts if you book, you know,
Oh, wow.
The cash, 70% off. Yeah. I just noticed that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, these are the things, right? I mean, they're basically discounting everything at this point to get people down. It's like those, it's like the airfare where you can go, you can get a trip to Florida for $25 round trip or something like that these days. It seems almost like crazy.
And I have so many DVC points now because of canceled trips that I wonder when they do open up how everybody's going to be able to use their DVC points, because everybody's going to want to come back. And we all have double the points because we're banking all of our points. So I wonder how they're going to be able to work with that. I just don't think they'll be able to accommodate everybody. They're going to have to make some. And then, you know, meanwhile, month after month goes by and I'm paying my maintenance fee. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is
a good time to buy DVC resale.
Yeah. This is just not a pleasant time for anybody, I guess. Right?
There's just so many things, Michelle. You make a good point, because makes you wonder if DVC will change some things like that. I'm noticing all kinds of, it looks like if you go to Disney Springs now, you get a 20% discount on menu items. And I mean, they're doing whatever they can to draw people in. They're doing the Frozen sing-along, and Disney's Hollywood Studios is supposed to open. That's been closed for a while. They're putting new signage in Epcot. I've heard that. They closed Liberty Square Riverboat and Tom Sawyer Island. Who, I don't know who would go there these days. Frozen Ever After, that's closing in November for some refurbishment. It's only going to be about a week. But there's a whole bunch of stuff like that that reading that is definitely a result of this. And Michelle's point is well taken, that those people who have been smart enough to cancel. Michelle, is there a timeline where people have to cancel their reservations or they lose their points?
Yeah, there's a whole kind of staggered, I found out during spring break, so canceled and I got all my points, but to use when, I don't know. Then if you get close, some points if you're closer to 30 days and then 7 days. So but honestly, like, how am I going to use all? I have a lot of points. How am I going to use them all?
You banked all your points, yeah, this year, do you have to use them next year?
I think there's sort of like a 3-year window that you have to use them. But I, you know, starting with 2019, 2020, 21, they're starting to add up. You know, I'll be able to stay a month soon.
That'd be
not
awesome.
Not that long, but yeah, but that is awesome. But, well, you get a reservation, you know, even in your home resort, because I'm one of thousands, right? So how's that going to be? And then, you know, for people who don't have DVC, you want to go, and we can't wait until it opens up, but then it's going to be, the floodgates are opening. I think that's great for our travel agent friends, but how are we going to get back? What's that going to be like?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be just so staggered that, you know, I guess, you know, there's some of our friends who feel comfortable going, and then maybe it'll be more. I think the three of us will be kind of like at the end of all that when the vaccine's been out, but.
Yeah. Is it going to ramp up quickly, or is it going to, you know?
Yeah. Is it going to be like, we're open? You know, we're fine.
So, or is it, you know, people delay over time, and it's gonna be interesting, right? Because the difference is California gonna open at some point, and when they open, is it gonna be crazy, or, you know, is it gonna be staggered? Are they gonna? I mean, there's so many questions as to how this is gonna open back up. I don't know how they're gonna figure it all out.
So that begs a question, Chris. I'd like to give to you and Michelle. What type of parameters, indications, facts, numbers, Michelle, for you first, what kind of signs would you like to see before you start planning? Well, I should say planning, because I'm sure that you already have reservations for next year, but what signs would tell you that it's safe to go?
That the curve has been flattened in both New Hampshire and Florida for 1 month, and that we have a vaccine that has been implemented for some period of time that I haven't, that there's some indication that there's a majority, you know, it's like the flu. There's a, you know, certain months and they're implementing the vaccine and people are taking advantage of it. I don't know how that'll ramp up, but I mean, I don't want to get into politics. I would just close down the whole country for a month. Just close everything down. Like, we're in our houses for a month. Until the curve is flattened for that period of time, I wouldn't feel comfortable.
How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I think the big thing is the vaccine for me. I think, you know, because I forget about the Disney parks. I tend to think, you know, look, I hate travel to begin with. So I hate the airports and I hate all that stuff. And just being on top of, like, I saw a friend of ours who was like taking a flight from Florida to New Jersey and today, and it was like, and they're just packing them into the planes now. And
yeah,
you know, there's no, it used to be like skipping aisles and then nobody in the middle, but now it's like they're just throwing everybody on the plane and there's no, you know, and I, which I don't think is very smart, but so that I want to steer clear of. But yeah, it's, look, I'm not even scheduled to go until next August, and we'll see.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only one. I mean, we were gonna do the Star Wars again, or try to make up for this year, but I don't even know if they're gonna do the races. I mean, we saw that they canceled Marathon Weekend. What's the other one? Is it
Princess,
right? And then so I don't know if they're gonna be able to do Star Wars, so that's out of the question. And then we usually go late August, so that's, we rebook that one, hoping by that point that we're gonna have a vaccine and that numbers have gone down steadily. And
Chris, will you double up? Will you take more time to make up for the time you lost?
So normally, when this is the way we usually do it. If we're going for races, we go for like the quick weekend and maybe we add a day or two on the other side. For the summer trip, we tend to take 10 to 14 days normally. Right. I think I said this on a previous conversation that we were just planning, my wife and I, to sort of take this time now while the kids are in college to take these, you know, weekend jaunts down or shorter trips. And we had just started. We went down in January and we beat the shutdown. But, you know, we enjoyed ourselves. We went, we did the go for wine and cheese, and you'd go and like be adults. And it was so great. We were so looking forward to going down more often. We were going to go down like every couple of months or so just to sort of enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting how this all played out. We were going to run the Star Wars. That didn't happen. Then we thought, well, maybe we'll do wine and dine if we, you know, and then obviously that went. Now what's happened is my work schedule, I basically agreed to double up the amount of work I normally do in a year because I figured, what the heck, I'm going to be home. And so now I've got this new schedule where I'm going to be, I think we're supposed to be pumping out, instead of 3 books a year, we're going to do 6 books in a year. So
wow.
On top of my other work. So I, you know, it was like, all right, I guess I'm going to do this. So I'm going to need this vacation come August. I'm going to need a couple of weeks and then hopefully take some more time off to make up for the additional work. But I am looking forward to it. I mean, I do want to get, like, I'm sure you guys do the same thing. You see like a little bit of a clip of a video from the parks and you hear the music and you see, even with the masks on, and you get Jones in for it, but just stinks that we can't do that. Can't get down there, and just, I'm not willing to take the chance yet. Like I said, our circumstances are a bit different. You know, my son is now, he was volunteering for one EMS station locally. Now he's actually got a job with another one on top of that one, and he's going to fire academy and going to college. And so the fact that we could, you know, take a chance and infect him would just destroy what he's doing right now. So we are staying home. What about you, Mike? When you, like, are you like ready to go? Are you going to take some time?
I think that, you know, I want to comment on what Michelle said. I'm sort of in her camp, thinking that there has to be some type of a trend that, a safe trend, I should say, that indicates that there are improvements, but I haven't decided yet what that line is that I would say, okay, I'm ready to go. Because one of the things that I have seen this year, pretty much expected it, is when Memorial Day came, when July 4th came, when Labor Day came, people got really lackadaisical, and within 3 weeks, boom, going up. Now we're seeing that now with the schools and the colleges and the football games, pretty much.
And the White House.
And the, you know, I mean, there's a lot of super, I don't want to call them super spreaders, but there's a lot of spreader type activities going on. And I think that, you know, Michelle talked about a month. I would say maybe 60 days for me, because I don't want to be one of those people who say, oh, you know, a month has gone by, no problem. Because like you mentioned, Chris, it's not like we're down there and we can just drive over. Mm-hmm. It's getting on a plane. It's flying for 3 hours for us, next to someone, breathing that air, then getting off, walking through the airports. And I'm sure the airport, that's a very busy airport. And then you get on the shuttle. And then finally, if you're renting a car, you can rent a car. And then, you know, then you're a little bit more in control. But I just don't know what kind of parameters or what kind of flags I should be paying attention to. And I know Michelle's going to like this, but I'm going to say, I'm just going to listen to the science. I'm going to go by what the science says. I think that that's going to make a difference. And, you know, who knows what happens in the next month or so with stuff going on in the country, if things will change, we don't know. But I really think that, honestly, I really don't know what type of indications are going to really make me feel safe to go. And that's strange because I've been going for almost 50 years down there. So
the other thing
it's really strange.
Here in New Jersey, I don't know about up in your neck of the woods, we have basically a 2-week quarantine for anybody who visits certain states. So we have like 35 states or something like that. So if you visit those states, you come back, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. Can't leave your house, can't go anywhere, which would make life difficult when you're trying to get groceries or, you know, you want to.
It's the honor system though, right?
It is, but, you know, again, I would hope that most people would do the right thing. I mean, everybody keeps saying that's what we're supposed to be doing and do the right thing. That's why they want to give people the ability to go out as long as they do the right thing. I hope people do that. But so that's the thing. Like, you know, you go on vacation, you come home, and then you got to sit for 2 weeks. Now, for me, it doesn't really matter. I'm home all the time anyway. Like, the only time I really leave my house is I go food shopping and the rest of the time, or go for a run. But even that, a run in my area, that, you know, I there's nobody really around when I'm out there, so I can run freely and not stress too much.
Run free.
It's not like I'm running through Brooklyn. I'm not going to run into, you know, thousands of people in the street or something like that. It's just, you know, I'm out in the burbs. But you know, it's just, it's rough. I mean, you know, and you're right, Mike, going back all the way to the beginning, just the thought that they're going to allow more and more people into the parks is just, it's pushing your luck. I think they're, you know, I know we've talked off the air that I think I'm forgetting where the news article originally came from, saying that the government officials said that there were no cases of COVID coming from Disney World or reports of it being having anybody
I think it was the food blog. Was it the food blog?
Well, but she got it from like the report, like a report, like, you know, like the government said, basically, or whoever was in charge said.
Well, that's very, very similar to when Disney says no one has ever died on property. Well,
that's what I was thinking, yeah. Right? You know, it's sort of that feeling of, you know, yeah, we know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah. Florida Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings held a press conference to give updates on the current health situation in the county. A common question from reporters there, conferences, can you update us on whether there have been any outbreaks traced in any theme parks? The answer has remained the same for a while. And in a recent conference, Dr. Raul Pino from the Florida Department of Health in Orange County stated that we keep getting this question from everywhere. The same question we hear from the state all the time. And the answer is no. So currently no cases have been definitively traced to the Orlando theme parks. But we saw an article recently where they had said even the cast members were commenting that they got sick or there were people getting sick. And so the fact that they're denying that anybody down there has gotten sick is kind of a little unnerving, right? I mean,
well, we have heard that there have been people in certain hospitals that were asked to sign NDAs when a certain individual would be there. So why would not the same thing happen with Walt Disney World? I do want to go on record saying I don't trust them. And I think that there's unfortunately possibly some cast members who have, they may have contracted it. And, you know, I know you want to protect your business, but I think you need to be transparent because I think that more people would appreciate that than being lied to.
Protecting the people should be protecting the business too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I really.
We went down a depressing rabbit hole tonight.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that a lot of people are thinking that I think that if people hear us talking this and they're saying, gee, we're thinking the same thing, then maybe, you know, we're thinking along the same lines. And, you know, I'm worried about Thanksgiving and Christmas because I think that Thanksgiving and Christmas is going to potentially spike up things in January. So I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's just weird because I hear people who say to us, like, if you're bummed that they're not open, why are you having a podcast and why are you talking about this? If, you know, you should be talking about the good stuff. And it's, but, you know, I feel like everybody talks the good stuff. I think sometimes we have to have a conversation that's a little bit more grounded and realistic.
Well, the thing is, too, this is reflective of the way the three of us talk to each other all week long.
Yeah.
These are the conversations that we have offline every day. Yeah. So.
And you're right, Michelle. And I also think that there are people who try to listen to as many other opinions as possible and thoughts and think, and they try to take them all together and they make for some data that they need and some information so that they can make their own decisions as to what they should be doing. I think that there are going to be extremes. Some people are going to say, hey, everything is beautiful. Go down. You're not going to catch the virus. It's a hoax. And then you're going to have other people who say, you know, I am going to wait till there's practically nothing going on, that we have a vaccine, like Chris says, that the trend is really going down, like Michelle says. And I'm going to use those two components as well as a few others to determine when I'm going to go down. So I think that there's a service that we are providing that either supports, reinforces thoughts from other people, or possibly introduces some components to their decision making that will help them make what is the best decision for them. But obviously right now is not a good time to go down.
And I will say too, like, you know, the whole point of this show is basically for us to talk, and also the fact that we do love Disney, and the fact that we talk about this stuff. You know, you're allowed to love something as an adult and say they're not doing what we expect them to do, right? It's, we know they're better than this. We expect more. And we're allowed to talk about it and say, hey, you know, we want to see it better. We don't just, I don't know about you, Michelle, but I always feel like I have high expectations of what Disney should be. There's a philosophy behind the Disney brand, and I want them to live up to it. So that's why we talk like this, and we do miss it. So why not talk about what problems we're seeing? And I think, like I said from the way back in the beginning, the problem I have is that they opened up and it's going to make things last longer. We're going to be stuck home longer because more people contract it because they're out and taking chances like this. And, you know, I want to go back to Disney, so I want them to stop doing something that's dangerous. But maybe that's just me. But so for everybody that listens and gets mad and says, you know, why don't you guys just talk about good stuff? I'd like to. I want to get there. So, and I have an idea that we're going to do. We're going to do, like, I have a whole philosophy show idea that, you know, that I want to do with you guys. I mentioned to Michelle, hopefully in the future, which will be a little bit more fun for all of us. We can sort of talk in general terms and Disney terms, but I'll leave it as a teaser until we decide to do it. So
yeah, we'll have a lot of things. We'll have games. We'll be able to bring people on. It's really tough to bring people on when we're going through what everybody's going through, and but we'll you know, we're piling up the ideas, but we also want to keep people informed as to what's going on that they may not know. I don't know how many people knew about the Miami Dolphins thing and the capacity of the parks, but I try to keep in touch with some people who are down there and try to read forums and try to keep in contact with people who might be able to give some insight that we could share with our listeners.
All right, so next week, we'll promise we'll try and be a little bit more upbeat, a little something more engaging. I'm going to talk to these guys off the air and come up with this new concept and see if they want to play along. But so I guess that's going to do it for us today. So I want to thank Mike and Michelle for coming on, as always. So on behalf of them, on behalf of Mike Scopa and Michelle Scribner-McLean, I am Chris Eliopoulos, and we will see you on the road.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.